y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
1, 2, 3.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling stones of the raptor, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Roll it backwards, I'ma leave it at that. Daddy got nothing to do with rap. Check the facts, expose those cats. Who pose as heroes, take advantage of blacks. Your government's gangsters, so cut the crap. A war going on, so where y'all at?
We call this Miguel and Holly Uncensored. My name is Miguel Fuller. That is Holly O'Connor.
Hola and bonjour.
We have producer Ryan McGibney in the studio.
What's up?
And we have video producer Bach.
What that mouth do?
It does a lot, actually.
Okay.
I didn't know what to say.
Do you want to see it?
What?
Is that sexual harassment?
Yes.
Hey, Buck, does that make you... I asked Ryan this the other day when we had this discussion about, you know, the Harvey Weinsteins of the world. And I want to make sure I'm not a Harvey Weinstein because clearly, as we're sitting in here, I'm in a position of power, Buck. And I say that literally with every ounce of sarcasm that I could pull from the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Do I ever make you feel uncomfortable?
First of all, you are very worried right now. You're very worried. After that Harvey Weinstein stuff broke, you immediately thought to yourself of all the situations where you may have gone too far.
Right. Yes, I did. I did.
Do you think a lot of people had a little conversation with themselves where they went, did I ever do
in anything? Radio? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have some industries, like when I worked in retail, it was very jokey. I think if you work in hospitality, you spend a lot of time hanging out after work and, you know, you get very friendly, very comfortable. I think if you work in a bank where it's very professional and you follow those HR rules, I think, you know, you're like, oh, well, clearly people don't do this sort of thing. But when you work in an industry where it's very relaxed and you hang out with people mm-hmm. outside of work, I think everybody was like, ooh.
Yeah.
What have I said that could have offended someone? So yeah. I think we all, you know, thought about that. But, Buck, have I ever mm-hmm. made you feel uncomfortable? Honestly, have I ever made you feel uncomfortable?
Honestly, no.
No?
I like it. I mean, some of the stuff you say to me, I've never really had anyone in a workplace go there before.
Buck said it's about damn time.
But I'm like, I'm just like, yeah, this is cool. Like, I prefer it. I like to work somewhere where somebody can...
Where you're sexually harassed.
You like to work somewhere where somebody wants to fuck you?
I don't know. I don't know if those are the right words.
Well, those were the right words on the Mike Calta show the other day.
Oh.
You were in Miguel's top three in the whole building, Buck.
Yeah,
you were. I had to, whenever they pull me over to our sister station.
How are they still have those topics after Harvey Weinstein, by the way?
I know, girl. I mean, I don't know. It's a whole different animal
over
there.
Anytime somebody walks into that studio, that's immediately the question.
Yeah, they had me on there for 30 minutes, and literally Mike Calta started the segment by going, gay time, gay talk. And I was like, here we go. But he asked me questions about my boyfriend, Mr. Silver Fox, and about how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And
did he ask if anybody is like a bear or a twink?
I think after almost 3 years of being here, I think they got all the definitions down finally. But then they asked me about my ex, which that got kind of awkward. And then they asked me to rank top three from number three to one, who I thought was the hottest males in the building.
Oh, and that's always awkward. The category was hottest male.
No,
or no,
who
do you want to do?
Who do you want to do?
Who do you want to do? Yeah. Buck, right. You're number three.
That's, woo.
Is that awkward?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Three and a half for me.
That's my song.
Oh.
What?
Oh, no.
Is that
you thinking?
Oh.
When you see me.
We're graced with a presence of an artist in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah. So does that make you awkward now that you know that I have you as my number three person I do in the building?
No, because I know that the list constantly changes. I was surprised Evander didn't make the list.
Yeah, he's done. He's a vegan.
He's vegan, so he's done.
He's vegan. He's trying to get his life together, and you kicked him out.
That's too much. I can't. I could not do someone who was a vegan. I don't mind.
He's gonna live, and you're gonna die.
Yeah.
Buffalo chicken.
That's fine.
No, it's all a huge compliment. Thank you. I love it. I think that, you know, at least someone's thinking of me. At least somebody has got those feelings out there for me.
Buck said, I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, happy to be here, hashtag.
Happy to be here. Listen, if this is worth anything, I wouldn't mind being on someone's list. I just don't want them to corner me in an office and try to act out the list with me. You know what I mean? Like, it's totally different things, I feel like.
What would you do, Buck, if I literally, because you and I'll pop in your office, and your office is, you don't have any windows, very darkly lit.
It's dim.
It's dim.
It's closed, though.
Yeah.
It's
closed.
But if I walk and I close the door and I turn the lights off and I was like, hey, Buck, I really need to have a conversation with you. And then I went over and stood over your shoulder and I started massaging your shoulders. And then I kissed your neck.
Okay.
Wow.
First. First of all, so everyone knows. Except for the kissing, you have done that to
That's
me.
That's actually correct. So, you've done that, Miguel. What do you mean if?
Wait, no, I didn't close the door. Close the blinds.
No, you didn't do that, but you have rubbed me before, and I let you rub me because it feels damn good. First of all, being a friend and a coworker, I would stand up and I would just look at you dead in your eye and say, no, you crossed the line.
This is too much.
Too much.
Too much.
Get the F out of here.
We won't bring it up, but don't do it again, I imagine Buck would say.
So would you push me, or like would you just sternly ask me to leave your office?
Okay, wait, where do you kiss me?
On your neck.
On my neck?
Why does it matter?
Well, if he kisses me on the lips, I'm going to push him away.
Yeah.
But if he kisses me on the arm,
he's going to lean into it. He's going to be like,
quit playing, dog.
Dog.
Bro.
Dog, bro, as a way to signify warning.
Yes.
Not happening.
Exactly.
Okay. Wait. Well, this is good. I like knowing where we stand.
Now we know.
Now we know. All right. Well, we need to delve into the hot haunted yacht that was this past weekend. So, Ryan, you couldn't make it.
It was so fun.
Ryan was gone. He was in South Florida making money.
Money, money, money.
Make that money. Yeah.
Are you rich now?
Not quite. Working on it.
Your photography business is taking off, Ryan.
I'm about to incorporate or LLC or one of the other, whatever. So I'm just getting all my ducks in a row for that. And
at what point will you leave us?
How the taxes.
What point will you leave us?
Hopefully tomorrow.
I'm not trying to. Trying to do a little dual citizenship.
I mean, so like what, like how does that work? I mean, like let's say you, like as a photographer, because I know nothing about this, you know, at what point are you like, okay, this is my full-time job I'm making? Like, do people pay you to be on retainer? Or do you become a photographer at a company? How does that work?
How
do you become rich doing it?
I kind of just want to stay my own entity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to work for the man.
Mm-hmm.
The wife.
If you're going to do it, you might as well do it yourself.
And that's don't have any, I don't have to have my creativity stopped by somebody else. I can do what I want, and people hire me because they like the things that I'm putting out, which are 100% me.
That's freedom. Mm.
That's freedom. So that's why I like to do it that way. And I'm doing it this way. I get off the show. Like, I usually don't do things during the hours that the show is. So afterwards, I go home and edit, or, you know, I can plan for the weekends mostly. And that's what I've been doing.
How much money do you have in your checking account right now?
Miguel, that's not appropriate. Don't answer that.
I bet you probably have the most money in your checking account than all of us.
Well, I don't own a house or anything and have that kind of bills. No kids.
It's probably true.
I don't go to brunch every Sunday.
Oh,
and spend
he called
like $1 billion.
He called my ass out because I'm rich.
World star.
I go to brunch every Sunday because I'm rich.
Brunch. No, that's fun.
That's brunch rich. Been,
we did the Tampa.
I'm rich!
No, Friday we did Power Design. They had a giant, like, they have this giant Halloween event. It's really, really over the top, and production is, like, off the charts. And they had, like, three haunted houses, too.
Is that in their office building?
Yeah.
And so, can you give me a figure, is this appropriate, Holly, to ask, like, around how much do you make for shooting something like that?
It really depends on what it is.
Yeah,
like,
you
if
could
it's
ask
an
a
event,
round figure.
Yeah. If it's an event, if it's, you know, like, promotional marketing material photos or whatever, or if it's, like, a wedding, it all varies because different amounts of work go into the editing process. Like, everybody's like, oh, you know, it's just, like, shooting photos with a camera. Well, that's, you know, kind of the easy part, I guess. You know, you get my eye of me holding the camera and pointing it at something, but mm-hmm. the editing is what goes into it.
Mm, and that's where the
so
the
it,
creativity.
It depends. Like on an event, I would say it would be a little bit cheaper because you know they don't have to be so perfect.
Mm.
Perfect.
I see.
Perfect meaning like every face and eyelash and whatever like has to be touched up, like a wedding. You know, and there's, those tend to be a little bit on the cheaper side, but, you know, still a lot of people come to me and they're like.
Between what?
I mean, between, like, it depends on how long.
Between what? I need some numbers. I'm curious how much money are you making?
For a wedding, generally, photo or video, it's about the same amount of work, $2,000 for, like, 6 hours of coverage or something.
Holly, how much money did you pay for your photographer during your wedding?
$2,600.
Oh. Mm. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so if you need more than 6 hours,
yeah,
you can pay another hourly rate or whatever. And then, like,
I didn't have video.
Yeah. So it's either one or the other because the video, I just did one actually. I posted it on my Facebook and Instagram. And you on my website, you could watch it, but it's it took me 3 weeks to edit.
I can imagine.
And the shooting was all day.
Holly, when you got your wedding photo, after you got your wedding photos, like, how did you utilize them? Like, were they on your coffee table?
God, I'm the worst.
What did you do with them?
I literally
did, you put them in the-
did nothing with them. And then I was a little mad that I spent that much money because I was like, I'm not like a normal person, I guess, because everybody's grown ass house that I ever go to, they have like a 25 by 67 portrait of their fucking wedding photo on the wall.
I do.
I didn't have one single wedding photo of us anywhere. Like there was a tiny one somewhere and I had a book that they made and it's in a closet.
I think that was foreshadowing of what was to come.
A lot of people are like the opposite of that.
I know. And they put them
it's
places.
It's like they're one day and it's worth it.
Yes.
And they have those. And I'm
just lazy. I'm lazy because I didn't want to order all those prints. Like, I never got prints like that. I
or
got
you didn't
want
to showcase your love to everyone.
The reason they're so expensive is because that person has taken the time to know their tool, which is their camera.
Right.
Know which tool to use for which moment and know when the moments are and when to push the button.
I'm not saying it's not worth
it. It's a combination of skill.
It's worth it.
To capture one thing that's happening in 2 seconds.
Yes. And it's got to be hell to edit all of that shit together. Like, my best friend got married. Okay. I'm so sorry if you're listening to this and the first time you heard this. Her photos weren't that good.
Oh, dang.
It's not that we all, like, I was in the wedding party, obviously, and we were all beautiful. She was a gorgeous bride. Unfortunately, she got the photos on Groupon.
Oh.
And there was, like, four damn people in the photography entourage, and they came out. They looked professional.
Right.
It basically looked like a high schooler picked up a camera and just pointed it. And I say this because it was, some of them were out of focus. Some of them, like the, one of the basics, and I don't know much about photography at all, but one of the basics is you shoot with the horizon line level.
Right.
It was all over the place.
Or you crop it later and
yeah,
fix it.
Yeah, or
like
fix
I do.
It. Like, they didn't do it. They clearly didn't do any post-production to help. Like, it, and one, it was in Cleveland, so it happened to snow the day before her wedding, and nobody expected it. So it was like a surprise snow. Well, we sort of took advantage of it, and she had a couple pictures in her white dress with his tux in front of this snowy backdrop. Mm-hmm. She was totally lost in the snow. Like, you couldn't even see. And, I mean, I'm glad for them that they do have pictures of the day. And, you know, she's happy with the pictures, I'm sure, so that's fine. But right. just looking through them and having seen Ryan's work, I was like, that is unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, I see that all the time. I'm always looking so I can, you know, sort of see what everybody else does and how they look and what people tend to like. I do me anyways.
Yeah,
so
and you should.
He said, I do me.
But the thing is, like, if you're looking for one, and I don't know how much that person charged, but
it was probably a deal.
It tends to be you get what you pay for.
With Buck, photography, it is. Yeah.
How much did you pay for your
I don't even remember.
I mean, you got married like in 1985? Is that when did you get married, Buck?
No, 2009.
Wow, 2009, I was still in middle school then. Jesus,
Miguel, I got married in 2010. Shut up, you were in it. Hell. No, it's worth it. Like, my photos were beautiful. It's just that I'm super lazy, never got them printed out to the size that they should be to hang in the foyer or whatever, and I had a book. And I still have a nice book that I will keep for my daughter so that she can see the wedding and one day and everything like that. But, like, next time I would do it differently. I would do pictures, you know, and video, because I didn't do video. And at the time I was like, I don't have any video from that day. Yeah. Not any. Mm. None. And I was like, at the time, I was like, I am trying to cut costs. I don't need a video. I have the pictures.
Yeah,
well,
a lot
it's
of people
different.
Do it that way.
I know. But then after the fact, I was like, oh, I kind of wish someone had got a video of something.
Yeah. Also, a lot of people are like, yeah, I looked at the video once and then that was it.
True.
But the thing is, that happens one day. So would you rather look back and like see how you were? You look at it every 5 years or whatever. You're still going to have that the rest of your life.
Right.
And the thing is, I personally like video more than photos. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously more people in the market, at least the connections I have, need photos. But right. I'd rather do more video. And I just think you can pack a lot more emotion into a video reel.
No, it's true. We have a friend from high school who is just so rich. I mean, just, and his family's rich, but he's made his money on his own. But, like, his video for his wedding, like, I don't know his wife. I haven't spoken with him since high school. I was crying because, I mean, they did such an amazing, powerful job in sort of telegraphing and telling the story of the day.
And, of course, there's music.
Yes.
So you feel it.
Oh, my gosh. It was so, so beautiful. Yeah. So if I ever do get married, I would definitely get a video because I remember watching it and I was like, well, damn, I have to do that if I ever get married, but I'm not rich like he is.
Oh. Yeah, but for anything, I do both. But Taryn, my girlfriend, does photography also. So
see, that's what's nice is you get a package deal.
If I get photo and video, she's doing photos, and she's probably better than me at photos, and I do the video.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so let's say you're gonna do a wedding. I don't know why I said it
you
like
gonna
that.
Do a wedding.
What you do?
Let's say you want to hire you and Taryn combo package to do the wedding. She does the photos,
you're
you do
rich.
The video. You would make a good chunk off of that. Do you split it? Do you?
Oh,
how
yeah.
do you do that? Are
yeah,
you in a
bit? Would what just if, handle one. I'll handle the other.
So would you
but,
just split it down the middle?
Depending on like the size or the you know whatever of the wedding, we might have to bring a second shooter for one or the other or both on. Mm-hmm. So it just depends.
Gotcha.
So basically, what you're saying is y'all are rich.
No.
Okay.
You're better than us.
Because, you know,
huh?
that one video took me 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's like one a month.
Yeah.
And that's why it's expensive.
Yes.
How much is a video package?
If you're doing it full time, I mean, I'm sure I could crank it out faster than 3 weeks, but I had other things at this.
Fish.
I had, you know, all those jobs. You're doing a lot of editing. Like, since last Tuesday, I've been getting off the show and sitting in my house in my computer until probably about 7 or 8 p.m.
Yeah. It's a lot of work.
Must be nice to be rich.
Okay, why do you always make people feel bad for their money?
Let I do
this man. You
I'm
do.
Not, no, I'm just,
why is that?
I'm saving it up.
You do.
You're good. Listen.
You money shame people.
I'm not. I'm jealous of your money. I wish I had that much money. I was actually having a conversation.
Well, the thing is, Like when you're your individual, like sole proprietor or whatever, you pay a lot of taxes.
No, that is true. Come March or like whenever taxes are due.
Probably like 25%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking with a friend who owns a business, and we were talking, because he's, I'm 32, he's 30, 31, just opened up his own business. And we were just talking about like being an adult and operating as an adult. And we're like, how much money should you have in your checking account? Like, I know the goal as an adult, your goal should be to have 6 months of expenses saved up.
You don't realize how much expenses you need, by the way.
Oh, that's a lot.
It's so much. I cried the first time I went to a financial planner that Miguel suggested I go to, because I felt so overwhelmed and out of control of my own life that I didn't even know what to do.
Yeah, I mean,
and this was earlier this year, I might add.
Yeah, I mean, but it's a figure you strive for. You know, that's sort of like when you're saving up. You know, like I'm sort of on that path of doing it now. But I was like, how much money do you operate with in your checking account on a normal basis? And they were like, normally it's sitting around like $3,000 to $4,000. And I was like, wait a minute. Is that when you get paid? And then
is that before or after a mortgage and rent comes out?
And like, and then it's like dwindling. You know, like that's. That's the base of what's there, and then when I get paid, there's more on top of that.
Why would you keep $3,000 in your checking account, by the way?
Emergencies.
No, put it in a savings account.
Well, no, they have a savings account. Like, but that's just like they're operating sort of like, you know, when stuff comes up.
I would never want more than $1,000 in my checking.
If you got a savings account that gives you a really beneficial one, like no bank that I know has that.
Right.
You have to keep it in there for what, a year, and you're like spending it and it fluctuates, and it's like you get like what, $5 back?
Yeah.
There's really no point. Unless you invest it. That's where what you need to do with your savings.
Well, and that's why I went to the planner lady, because I was like, help me.
It's just, you know, and I know this is not the most like exciting, sexy topic, but I think it's something though that people don't talk about, and I feel like it's something that people just sort of skirt around. And that's why, like, I'm never ashamed to ask people those questions. Like, I wouldn't talk about, like, how much I make on the air or anything like that, because that's just too much, and that's contract stuff there.
Too much money?
Yeah. It's because I'm so rich, and my financial planner went down. I'm not. But I think that it's stuff that, like, I remember when I was young, growing up poor, these are things that my mom didn't know and no one around me knew, and I wanted to know. And so I had to read about it. And that's why I always ask so many questions, because I don't know the answer. Because I'm always like, how much money did your mom keep in her checking account when you were growing up, Holly? Like,
how much
did your parents? I don't, like, these are, see, no one talked about that sort of thing. And I hate that.
My mom told me how to basically keep a checking account balanced. Like, back in the day when you used to get checking statements, you flipped it over and then you could balance it. Mm-hmm. So like she taught me that. So I understood the basics of you have bills that go out, you have money that comes in, and you have to make sure that one doesn't exceed the other.
Right.
That was like, it's like, you know, addition, subtraction, basic math. That was like my basis understanding of how to live.
Right.
And so you write down for the most part your bills. But that at that time, and when I was really good at doing that, but I never take into account like gas, groceries, like things that you do buy every single month, but it's not like, oh, I have to pay Verizon.
Right.
I have to pay the cable. I have to pay the rent. Those to me are like different bills.
Let me ask you guys one thing, because you, Miguel and Holly, you guys sometimes get endorsements. Mm. Have you ever miscalculated your checking account and it's still another week or a few days until payday, and then something comes through on sales and they say, oh, you know, you've got an amazing opportunity to represent this company and you could possibly get an endorsement fee. Have you ever had like a hallelujah moment where you're just like, oh, I'm going to need this?
So are you saying like,
I mean, I love endorsement money. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yes, obviously.
Like maybe you spent a little too much on brunch, and now you're kind of
struggling. No, because it's going to take a while anyway. Like, usually endorsements come down way far. Like they'll be like, oh, hey, you have an endorsement coming up in 3 months. I'll be like, well, I can't wait for that.
Like, ideally, in my budget that I have set up, I don't factor in endorsements. Like, in a perfect world, how my budget is set up, I should be taking the money that I get on endorsements and tucking it away.
Right.
That's what I should be doing, but I end up spending it. But in a perfect, so I don't even like factor that into like my, because here's what happens if you listening, we have our base salary and then we make extra money when you hear us talking about Mattress Firm.
Hey, Mattress Firm.
And
hey,
Corona.
Ideal Image.
Ideal Image. Like we make extra money on that. Or when you hear us, like I'm going to be at.
Except not on the podcast.
Except, but yeah, we don't make no money off this.
Come on, Cox.
This is free. And so, like, you'll hear me at Sprint
right.
This weekend or the Sarasota Medieval Festival. We're making a talent fee for that. And so I always say, ooh, this money is going to be tucked away. That'll, you know, cushion my savings account.
Ain't no cushion, girl.
No.
I just, whenever checks come in with, like, extra endorsement money, I just go, ooh. Ooh, I'm getting my nails done this week. That's
have
not
you ever seen
you
the video of, I think it's a raccoon with like a sugar cube and it he and drops it in the water and it disappears and it's like my check on Friday.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, and I think the problem with that is that the way our company does it is that the advertiser pays our company and then it processes through them and then we get paid. But we've worked at other places where you would get a check from the advertiser and they would 1099 you, which it sucked, but it was easier mm-hmm. to like take that extra check in the mail and then put it into your savings account.
But we were so broke then that I desperately needed any extra check that I got, so it would never be tucked away.
Oh,
anyway.
No, absolutely not. But I feel like at some point that would have happened maybe.
Maybe
I don't know.
Eventually, but we didn't stick around long enough to find out.
No, we didn't. We were only there for a year. But but to me, I find this topic so fascinating because everyone does it so differently. And I used to get mad at my mom because I would ask her, I'd be like, well, so how much money do you have? Like what? And she'd be like, don't ask me questions like that. It's none of your business. And I'm like, well, how am I supposed to know how to do this sort of thing? And so that's why as I got older, I would like buy the Susie Orman books and the Dave Ramsey books because I'm always so curious about it. So how much do you operate in your checking account, Buck?
I mean, it's a disaster area. It's so bad. Now, it used to be good because nobody knows this. You guys might. I used to own a video store back when video stores were like big and booming and Blockbuster was everywhere. I had a video store called Video City.
Wow.
You owned one?
I owned it. It was great from 2003 to 2008.
Of course, someone named Netflix. Buck would have a video store.
I know, right?
No, it was great.
Were you the dude? You're like, dude, check this one out.
Were you like the guy from Scream that was like super excited about all the movies?
No. I mean, my job was to watch movies. So every night I'd watch a movie, you know. Like
did you have like a secret side adult room?
No adult room.
Okay. How do you not have an adult room in a video
did
store?
Did Blockbuster have an adult room?
Probably in the back somewhere, Holly. You don't know.
The community I was in, I made more money by not having the adult room. When you have the adult room, you bring in a different type of customer.
Scares the others.
I had tons of families in this area. There were also a lot of churches nearby, and they came to me specifically. Across the street, there was a movie gallery, and they had an adult room, and I would hear all the time, this is why we're coming to you. And in the long run,
really?
It brought me more money. But also in the long run.
Just different clientels, not
Redbox and Netflix ended up destroying us, as they did everybody.
Yeah.
So. Well, I'm curious. So how did that work? Like, how did you pay yourself as a business? Like, would you just take money from the register? Like, did you give yourself a paycheck? How did that work?
You can't. So my mom was an accountant, and my mom and my dad owned video stores for a total of 26 years. So I kind of grew up sleeping behind the counter of a movie store, constantly seeing how it goes. When it was time to learn the business, I remember when 9/11 happened, that's where I was. I was in my mom's office learning QuickBooks accounting.
Oh, wow.
And I remember seeing it sitting with her learning the kind of stuff. And I learned how to do it. There's several things. You take a percentage every week or biweekly according to how well you do. First thing you do is pay all your bills. Then you see where you're at, see what you've got there. You take a percentage. Your employees, you've got to keep your employee under a percentage also. You don't want to just reach in. You never just reach in and grab a 20 and grab a $10 bill. Oh, I need lunch. I'll grab a 10 out of the register. Mm. No way, because I held everyone accountable, and everyone had to be checked. You got to make sure your employees aren't doing that also.
Right.
Employee theft was the number one situation for going out of business.
How much money did you make in a year doing that? Well, what's the most money you ever made?
The first year, the business made $1 million.
Oh!
What?
Yeah.
You
guys have to remember, this is in the height of video stores.
Fuck you, Netflix. So, Jesus.
I'm saying so Netflix.
Holy crap.
Put it this way. I was at a level where I bought a house. I bought a car for that year. I put 20-inch rims on it because it's me,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, you did.
Your name is Buck, yeah. So you were walking around.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, bling, bling. I'm Buck. Look at my spinning rims.
Did they have like, you know, gold video cassettes in the middle?
No, they didn't spin. I didn't get spinners on them.
That's unfortunate.
It was great. I could walk through the mall, and if I saw something I wanted, I got it.
Mm.
I didn't have to worry about anything. I bought new shoes every week. You know?
I mean, what was your tax return that year? Were you like, what, 100, 150, 200?
No, I, you know, this is going back, so I don't remember. I know I wasn't very good with taxes and stuff. So
tax man coming after you?
I had a separate accountant, and I just...
Yeah, you get a guy.
I got a guy.
I just pushed it over, and I just like handle this. I don't know this.
Wow. So how much money did you have in your checking account, like the most at that time?
I would say in the first couple years, it rotated between $1,500 and $3,000.
Yeah. Buck, I would have kissed your neck back then. I would have been all over your damn neck. Been like, hey, yeah, Bucky boy, Bucky got some money, y'all.
Well, think about it. When video stores started declining and, you know, you go from a Friday night making a couple thousand dollars to making $150.
Oof.
And I'm sitting there going,
yeah.
I gotta think of something. What else am I going to do in life?
That has to be probably one of the scariest things, to have a business and when you see that it's just not happening.
Yeah.
in a situation like that where, like, literally there is nothing you could have done to stop that. Because I remember I moved to Panama City with Holly in 2008. And remember, Holly, that first, like, 6 months before I made any friends, every Friday night I was at Movie Gallery.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to get movies. And
We got a lot of movies. We watched a lot of DVDs. And then, that's what you did back then.
But then I remember when Redbox came.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think you signed up for Netflix. And we used to have those little red envelopes all over the house.
I know. That was how first Netflix got you in. Because I'd be like, but it's so easy. It just comes in the mail.
Yeah.
Like the next day.
But then you don't realize you're doing that because it's convenient. And then you're putting Bucky Boy over here out of business.
Right. I'm no longer funding your rims.
What do you think is next? What's going to go out next?
What business is done?
Yeah, what's going to get replaced by something first? Oh, man. What one that I recently saw and we talked about it was that MoviePass.
MoviePass?
It's like the Netflix, but for movie theater.
Oh, and
you have
can
a
go
card and it's $10 a month and you go and see unlimited movies.
Yeah. But
yeah, that's good.
But like, how is that affecting the movie theater?
No. I think that because I was reading an article that the movie companies are working with the streaming services to shrink the time where it takes between a movie to be out in theaters and when we'll get it. And so I think theaters will have a hard time unless they continue changing, like with the Cine Bistros and the movie galleries, and they make it more of an experience.
I do like to go to a theater if I know it's going to be worth it. Like if it's a movie that I want to see, if it's those damn comfortable ass seats,
them new chairs, they better have them chairs,
those reclining ass chairs, and then or I'm getting served dinner like Cine Bistro. Like I either want to sit in a fucking lazy boy, or I want dinner. If I have to go to a movie theater now where it's just a regular old chair. And when I say regular old, I mean even the kind that rocks a little bit. Which at first, I know I'm so bougie with theaters now. Like, but I'm saying like I don't have a lot of time to see movies in my life right now. Mm-hmm. So it better fucking be amazing, especially if I'm gonna spend the money on it.
And
it's so much.
Because I mean when you look at who the people that are gonna buy those things and you know, buy those experiences, it's not gonna be like when I was in my younger 20s and I would go to the movies every week because it was $12 and I wouldn't buy any other, you know, popcorn because I couldn't afford it. But now I would spend, you know, $40-$50 if it's good. But at the same time, as I get older and I upgrade my entertainment center and I have all these speakers and the big screens, like I have a friend who has a projector as his screen. So like if he's like, hey, I got the new movie that's out,
Christmas Moms?
Yeah, Christmas Moms. Like let's say he said, hey, you know, it's out in theaters this Friday, but then next Friday they're going to release it to iTunes. well, I'm going to go to his house and watch it because I don't have to pay $15. I don't have to pay another $30 for food. So I think theaters have a really hard time coming up. I think that may be the next business model that may go out.
I hate to see it because I still want to go. I just want all that shit. But
think about this. With the new seats they put in movie theaters, you're only fitting like half of what you could fit in.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So if you want to see a movie like It, when It came out, I was like, oh, that's a theater movie mm-hmm. right there.
Right.
And so you had to wait. You had to wait till something opened up to get in.
It's true. Yeah, movies are selling out quickly because
there's not as many seats.
There's not as many seats. Yeah. So it's really sad to see that business starting
to come. I don't know. I'd have to think about it because off the top of my head, I don't know. But I'm sure there are probably two or three major businesses that are really in danger in this moment. And I can't think of what they are right now, but there's got to be something.
I think also traditional sort of not like specialized restaurants. I'm thinking like the Applebee's and the Chili's.
Well, they've said that they of course blame millennials, but they say that particular business model of a restaurant isn't great anymore. It's like that cheap dine-in sort of across the board bland food.
Yeah, because you want, you know, if I go out now to eat, I think that's what it comes down to right now is that we all want an experience. Like if I'm going to not eat out and I want the look, I want an experience and I don't want to feel like I can get this anywhere else.
Or make it at home. And I think that's another thing is that they don't give the millennials credit for. Myself included, I'm a damn millennial technically, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's cooking at home. More people are cooking at home because it's healthier and it's cheaper to just do it than go get some stuff that you're not sure what's in it at a chain restaurant.
Right, it's true. So those businesses are having a hard time.
I think that you're probably right on that one.
All right, well, after our little bit of our NPR podcast here where we just discuss the economics of business.
Financials.
I literally felt like I was just listening to All Things Considered right now. Let's talk about something a little bit more scandalous. And more on brand.
When you, when we post this podcast, be like, if you just stick with us for the first 36 minutes, we'll get to some whorish details, okay? Just hang on. We got to talk about finances first.
We got to talk about money and what's going on in business.
Let it not be said that we don't span the gamut here.
Listen, we do everything.
We do.
I'm Miguel and Holly Uncensored.
Full service.
The Hot 101.5 Hot Haunted Yacht.
Yes.
It was a shit show like ever before. Now, I'm curious.
Why is this still the best song ever?
It's still sort of like Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas.
Yes.
It just, when you hear it, it just telegraphs a certain mood.
Correct.
It just puts you in the Halloween mood.
Yeah.
Buck, you were filming.
I was up on it. I was filming and uploading photos to the website.
I heard that the person that was supposed to be taking pictures didn't show up, so you had to pull double duty.
It's so frustrating in the digital area of this company. Well, I'm sure with any company, but what happened to me was there was no one else who could film it. And I can film pretty good, but
I film good.
But what my main goal was to do, what I do with other events, is upload photos to the website for the people so you guys can see what's going on.
Yeah.
But the guy who I'm not going to mention any names called in. He did go out partying the night before.
Did you think he was really sick or was he hungover?
I don't know. I asked him and he said he was.
Sick?
Yeah.
I wish he was here. I'd call him in here now. Bitch. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. So how was it from your, because you were sober the entire time.
I had one beer.
You had one beer.
Oh, good.
Girl, that's like drinking water. Well,
here's the thing. I bought a beer. It cost me $6.50
for one beer.
You bought a beer?
I had to buy a beer. What? There was nothing. I mean, I'm sure you guys got a few drinks.
No, I got nothing.
Well, yes, we did. Yes, we did.
You mean for free?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't have the tickets?
No, not for the staff. Like
no, there were no
time.
Tickets, but we did get a couple of Coronas.
We did. We got two Coronas.
Yes, we did.
So, well, I also got a craft beer because that's how I roll.
What's your craft
so
beer?
Fancy.
I can't be drinking the other stuff.
So. Okay, but at the end of the day, though, you were sober because you had one beer.
Yeah.
And that's like drinking water.
Yeah.
So what does the Hot Haunted Yacht look like at 12:30?
Yeah, as it pitches into drunkenness.
Yeah, like it's just everyone at this point is just fucking wasted.
Yeah, everyone's fucking wasted. There was also, I wasn't drunk, but I was, there was something else going on.
No.
So this is the sixth time we've done the yacht.
Did someone sexually harass you?
No.
What?
And it wasn't you. So sixth time the yacht has happened. This is my fifth time on it. What I noticed more than anything was the cloud of ganja smoke that was floating
there
along.
There was a lot of the weed.
Somebody told me that I had a couple of friends that didn't come on it this year because they smelled it last year on the top.
It was a little
level.
Bit last year.
Was it like just
a, look, like I was high as
because
fuck.
They smelled it? Oh, they didn't wow. want to come?
Well, they're very like they don't do that sort of thing. So they just felt it was inappropriate.
Yeah.
What kind of teetotaling people are you friends with?
Marijuana is the devil.
I'm not coming because I smelled weed.
Holly, what is she?
Sounds like my ex-girlfirlfriend.
Would you call it a teetotaling? What is
tea? I don't even know what I said. I said, what kind of teetotaling bitches are you friends with? Or whatever. I don't know. Yes. Oh teetotaling.
I've never heard of that before.
Okay. That's like when I've often most heard it in reference to drinking, not the devil's tobacco. Mm-hmm. But people will say that other people are like a teetotaler if you're keeping an eye on how many drinks you're having. Like if I go to you and I'm like, oh, I see that's your third beer.
Oh, I hate when people do that.
Yeah. I don't want to be around your teetotaling ass friends.
No, I agree. No, but they're not like that. They just don't like that. Mm-hmm, they just don't like the marijuana.
Sure.
But I didn't spend a lot of time on the top level, so I didn't know. So you literally got a contact high from it?
Yeah, I did. A lot of the coworkers that were there, Mike Olivero, they all said they got it too. I mean, it was overwhelming.
Oh, wow.
That many people were doing it?
Sucks that there's a Cox drug test coming up.
Oh.
Get that drug test, girl.
We all went,
but
really no.
Besides that, and I'm not even saying besides that because I didn't mind that. I am from Colorado, and it kind of goes hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it was a really great time. There were people everywhere. Everyone was into it. People were dancing really into it on the top floor.
Did you see?
Describe.
Yeah, did you see anybody?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Did anyone like pull a private part out? Like, did you see anything?
I did not see that. However, there was a young female who was, I will call her a twerk machine.
Oh.
Yeah. Damn.
Wait, was it Holly?
Miguel.
No.
You've seen my butt.
She is manufacturing twerks.
Nobody would confuse me for being a twerk machine. No.
So I did a video. I did the recap video for the station.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 2 minutes long. I put a really, really hip song into it.
Hip.
And I turned it in to the promotions director so he could pass it on to the client, which the client is an adult supercenter. So there's not much that's in the video that would offend someone who is in charge
sexual
of an
items.
Adult supercenter. So I put everything in I could find. And
like, why do I feel like you put like someone like sucking someone off in the bathroom?
He like put like, extra. He was yeah. went extra yeah. with all.
Buck's like, this is good.
Yeah, I had to go back and make a lot of edits.
Because at the end of the day, it is living on our social platforms.
I don't want to scare away future endorsers and clients.
Right.
Right.
So I needed to clean it up.
Sure.
Right. No, that makes sense. That's why sometimes I feel like with this podcast, like I don't want it to get like too known in the company because then like
I'd be fine if they never knew it existed.
Yeah. Because like then if you have like I can just imagine, you know, the president of the company and like some other big wigs, like the Cox family.
Could you imagine? Because Miguel, you know what this feels like because we've had this happen before.
Oh my God. Yes.
When you're just doing your show and you're just talking and then it comes under a microscope because something off was said and then you have to like sit, soberly on a couch in a row and listen to what you said. And then you're like, oh God. So could you imagine if we were somewhere in a boardroom, like wearing the clothes we are now and they're in suits and they're playing this and they're like, what did you mean?
They've got when the
you
lawyers.
Yeah. Oh God.
I just, yeah.
We'd have to pull the podcast down.
Freedom. Yeah. Freedom. Goes back to freedom.
Okay. Well, yeah.
All right, hey, I've got two comments and kind of questions about the Hot Haunted Yacht.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when you guys were voting for the contest.
Uh-huh.
All right, and
costume contest.
Yeah, the costume contest, and which was phenomenal, by the way. But there was a point where you were voting, and there, Miguel, specifically you, there was a time.
Oh God.
When there was maybe one or two people behind you in the crowd kind of yelling at people. And
oh, you mean the Lil' Kim that was upset we didn't let her have 20 minutes to dance in front of everybody?
I don't know who it was, but someone made some really nasty comments to other people and to you.
Wait.
What were some of these comments, Buck?
Oh, I didn't hear the comments about me.
You didn't hear them about you.
No, I didn't. Tell me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, tell me.
Either. There was a lady in my ear, but she was just screaming the same thing over and over, and I had to tell her to stop.
So I was standing up next to you, Holly, filming mm-hmm. them. And
oh, this is good.
You don't know? I don't want to say it.
No, say it. Tell me.
So there was... there was a very skinny female in a skin-tight outfit that went up in the contest, and she was very light up top.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have a lot going on, and this person in the crowd...
I did hear this. I know what you're saying.
...said, she ain't got no titties.
Yeah, she did. That was the woman by me. She ain't got no titties! Yeah.
Oh, she said that. Oh, wow.
Yelling. You didn't say it. She screamed it.
Oh,
she
dear.
Screamed it.
That was the woman who was screaming in my ear. That was before she started screaming about the other thing.
I think she was singing our song remix that we always sing in the studio behind the scenes.
She ain't got no titties.
We replaced words.
Got no laughter.
Anyway, but she was being for real. She said she
yeah, and I don't know if it was her that took the next comment out about you, Miguel, but you were on the microphone and you said, you know, we're a station that accepts everyone for how they are. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're like gay, straight, black, white, whatever. You do you, and we're going to support you. And then after you said that, this must not be the part that you heard. She said... something along the lines of, oh, well, you're sitting there, or all you do is sit there and suck dick.
I did not hear that.
I did not. I wish I did. Cause I've been like, you know what, bitch? And I'm doing good, too, girl. I'm slurping out.
Oh, my gosh. Please.
Can confirm. All he does is suck dicks. All day.
Oh my God.
Why can't life be like a movie? Because she should have said that, and then everything should have stopped. The record should have gone, and then Miguel should have done a slow head turn and be like, what did you say? and then it would have been like, what? And then come around my city, bling, bling, would have started playing.
No, see, world star. See, exactly. That's why I'm glad I didn't hear that, because if I, any sort of sober brain, I would just ignore it and act like I didn't hear it. But when I'm on the Hot Haunted Yacht hosting that, see, here's what I warn people about at the station. And I always say, listen, if you don't want me to be on the microphone during this, that's okay. I used to host drag shows for about 4 years when I lived in Panama City. And when you host a drag show, you're supposed to heckle the crowd. You're supposed to be quick-witted and have fun and very playful, be very dirty. And so when I'm drunk, I default into that because I did it so long. And I try to rein it in and not to be like too much, because there were times in the drag show they were like, okay, Miguel, you need to like step it back.
Even the drag queens are uncomfortable.
They were like, you need to just take it back one step. And so if I were drunk and would have heard that, I can so see myself standing up and being like, well, you know what, bitch? Ask my boyfriend how good I suck his dick, because he ain't complaining.
I think you'd have been like, I'm better than your nasty ass.
Exactly.
Some nonsense.
She was nasty. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very great. That I did not hear that, because that would have not turned out well. Well, you know what? That's okay, girl. It's fine. She was just bitter. It's fine. Whatever. It's fine.
Wow.
Well, see, I like having Buck's sober perspective.
Right. No, I was not sober.
Now, Holly. Mm? Did we have Corona Holly or Vodka Holly?
Vodka Holly was not there. I drank no vodka.
Wow.
Yeah, I did drink 2.5 rum drinks.
Okay.
When I first got on board, because what I've discovered is, why do I forget that other liquor exists? What I've discovered is that nothing does to me what vodka does to me, which is what it's Vodka Holly for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Something in my body must just say, nope. Although at first it says, yeah.
Give it to him again.
And then it says, nope.
Yeah.
So I drank no vodka because I didn't want to be a complete mess.
And you're on a boat and you can't get off.
Right.
Yeah. So
it was raining.
It was raining. So I drank a couple and a half rum drinks. And at that point, it wasn't even like late yet. I think it was only like 10:30, and I had a real good buzz. And so I was like, let me stop with this. Mm. Let me go switch to beer. And then I did, and I was also drinking water because I was just so afraid of being crazy. Mm. I didn't want to feel that way at a work event.
Right.
So I really held myself together pretty well the whole night. I did get drunk. I mean, I'm not going to say I wasn't. I for sure was. There's a reason we Ubered. Right. But at no point did I ever feel out of control.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Which that's is boring good. For the podcast, I'm sorry to say.
No, it's fine. I mean, you're in a relationship now and your boyfriend was there. So I didn't expect you to be like, well, girl, I was strung out in the bathroom or anything. Like, I figured you would have sort of like a okay night.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be crazy.
It was so. Fun, though. We had a good time.
It was good. It was good. I was drunk.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because one of my friends had another friend visit from out of town who had never met me before. And a couple of days after the Hot Haunted Yacht, and we were talking about it, and I was like, God, I was just so out of it. I was like, I'm glad I didn't do anything crazy. And she was like, I literally could not tell. She was like, I thought you were, like, sober. Like, I couldn't tell you were drunk at all. And I'm like, I don't know how, like, what kicks in with me. Because, like, I'm sure, Holly, you can tell by now because you know we've known each other for so long.
I was
going
to say, I can tell, but to the normal eye... Even to my normal life from like several years ago, right. I'd be like, God, were you drunk?
Right.
But you do a good sober impersonation. I cannot do that. And I have never been able to do that. I don't even try to pretend anymore because it's laughable. So I will straight up tell you if I'm intoxicated. But you do a really good sober impression.
Buck, could you tell I was drunk?
I feel like when you're extra smiley, I can tell.
Because you normally scowl at people. Is that why?
I went up to ask you something, and you turned around with the biggest smile. And I was like, oh, he had a few drinks. Yeah. But not drunk.
You get right. loosey-goosey.
Yeah. No, well, I don't know. This is because I remember, like, getting, like, it coming back into Doc and getting off of it. And then, like, that's where, like, my memory stopped and I don't remember. Because then apparently somewhere in my group, we were like, let's go to Ybor. And in all the years, or what we've been, this is our third Hot Haunted Yacht for Holly and I, that someone says that and then someone goes, nope, shutting it down, let's go home. I don't know what happened, but we were like...
Someone was not the one.
No, and we ended up in Ybor that night. And, like, I barely remember being there. And then I had some pictures pop up of some listeners who met me in Ybor. And, like, I'm hugging them. And they're like, it was so nice to meet you. You were so great. And then that's when I'm like, oh, my God, I do not remember... One lick of that encounter, not one.
That's where you get in trouble. Because last year at Pride, remember you were like a dick to somebody and they were like, I'm just really disappointed because I thought Miguel was great. And I'm like, sir. And I'm like trying to make excuses for you. I'm like, sir, he was wasted. That's not normal Miguel.
Well, and I think in that case too, it was more so that I just didn't respond because I was like, comatose from because that was Pride, so I had been drinking all day, and then it finally had just like rushed into my system.
Yeah,
but I was just like, thank God I didn't act a fool when we were in Ybor because I don't remember anything.
Eef.
Well, there
Blackout.
We go.
Blackout. Wait, I've got one more thing.
Oh yes,
something else you guys don't know that happened on the boat.
What?
This is really bad. Oh. This is really bad.
I don't know. So, I can't tell if you're joking right now or you're serious.
No. Your mouth is gonna the jaw is dropping. So we had all the people who work for Hot 101.5 on the boat, and there's a bunch of promo techs who help set up and stuff. So after the costume contest was over, we were clearing everybody out. Well, I rushed upstairs to edit some stuff, but the techs were clearing people out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently some people refused to move, and one of our techs had a guy spit in her face.
What?
Yes. So I'm upstairs editing stuff, and she comes up crying.
And
it's just me and her in there, and I go, what happened? What's going on? And she told me the story of what she was trying to clear people out.
So nobody could be in that first floor anymore.
Yeah. Getting people away from the step and repeat so they, handle all that and stuff. And the guy just refused anything, and he had his girlfriend with him. This is somebody who was not dressed up at all, and they weren't in the Halloween spirit. And
why were they there? I don't know. Why are you going to come to the Hot Haunted Yacht, not wear a costume, and then be a bitch?
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
So, yeah, I don't know.
She was very sad, so I tried to
cheer her up. Them to move?
she very politely asked them to move, and this guy was with his girlfriend, and without any warning, he just, boom, right in her face.
Wow.
And the first thing she did was look at him like, what the hell are you doing? And then looked at the girlfriend, and the girlfriend was just embarrassed, head down, but did not say anything or try to stop anything. And then our person ran away in tears. And unfortunately, when you have that many people getting, you know, having that great of a time and maybe too much alcohol, you always have one person that is not going to do what they should.
I'm going to say something. If I was ever with a human who spit in a random ass person's face
for an event that I did not pay for,
I would no longer be with them, because that speaks to who they really are. I'd be like, you may as well have just spit in my face.
Seriously.
We're done.
I mean, it's a fight if that happens.
Yes.
No, to me, it's not even a fight. It's just a, you know what? You showed your true colors.
I don't actually like who you are.
I think we're done.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Poor girl. Is she okay?
She is okay. I've talked to her. I saw her yesterday. And she's good. She's good.
Poor thing.
Lord. Well, there you go. High Haunted Yacht 2017.
Moral of today's story, get a 401k and don't spit in people's face. Like to
and
have lessons.
Don't try to kiss on the necks.
Don't kiss anybody's
coworker.
Neck.
A little
don't try
awkward.
To come for the twerk machine.
That's right.
No. He already holds machine. The title.
And just know that all I do is sit around and suck dick, apparently, so.
I know that's right.
Listen, if I could make money doing it with my boyfriend, I would, but I can't, so I'm here talking with my lips.
You ever been on chat roulette?
I have, and everyone passed by my chat room. It's fine.
Remember when that was a thing?
Yep, I remember, because people would just go straight past me.
Oh.
That's when I used to be on Ambien and wine. Really,
I was worried about you during those days.
Yeah, I would be spread eagle on my bed with my laptop open.
But also not remember.
No, but I do remember at one time talking to this guy on chat roulette from London, and we had like an hour long conversation, and we ended up being Facebook friends for a little while. Yeah.
Well,
so,
there was something.
So he deleted you then?
Yeah, he
you
did.
Said a little while.
He deleted me. I think I was like, I'll fly to London to be with you. And he said,
unfriend. I was thirsty.
I was. It's fine. Holly O'Connor.
Hi.
What's all of your social media?
Radio Holly. It's on Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, and it's Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Ryan McGivney.
Yes, radio.
You don't even know what we're doing right now. Sorry. I could have said, Ryan, you've been picked for the purge. You're going to die.
Radio McGib, M-C-G-I-B. Facebook is just slash McGib.
Ryan, when we're doing the show and you're like working on stuff, do you ever just roll your eyes at what Holly and I are talking about?
No. I don't
you
know.
Did today.
When?
This morning.
Y'all, we got to go. Caraba's in the break room.
Oh, girl. Shit. Bye. Buck.
Wait, Buck Machete. One word.
Yeah. Buck Machete?
Machete.
And where can they find you?
Facebook, Twitter, and Insta. I don't have the snap.
Okay. All right. All of me.
John Legend.
Is
all of you. Me.
It is at Miguel Fuller, MIGUELFULLER. You can find me on Snapchat, Instagram, and Twitter. And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/radiomiguel. You can listen to Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com on your Hot 1015 app for free. And also on iTunes, just type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored. When you go on there, if you could just do us a favor and please just give us a little rating, subscribe to our podcast, and write us a little review. Make us smile. We'll read it on the air. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.